When we're young, the message often echoes, sky's the limit. Regardless of background, we're told we can become anything. Doctor, lawyer, musician, astronaut, you name it. And as kids, our imaginations run wild, painting vivid pictures of a future where all our dreams come true. Even though it's not reality yet, there's this sense that it's just around the corner waiting to happen. Long before that pivotal moment arrives, you're essentially what they call a dream chaser, relentlessly pursuing the very thing you and those around you believed was possible. In today's video, we're diving into precisely that journey. Meet Lil Snoop, a young dream chaser with an insatiable hunger for his shot at becoming the next big thing in the rap game. With promising feedback from fans, it seemed this Louisiana artist was on the brink of big things. However, tragedy struck when a dispute over a video game resulted in the loss of some money, altering the course of his life in the worst possible way. Born Adarin Ross on the 13th of June 1995 in Jonesboro, Louisiana, Adarian, aka Lil Snoop, was an energetic kid eager for big things. Unfortunately, growing up, Lil Snoop's father wasn't around due to some charges keeping him behind bars for pretty much his whole life. Growing up in such a small town, there really wasn't much to do but dream big, with the hopes of making it out to bigger cities and experiencing more of what the world has to offer. Lil Snoop's mother, Denisha, had spoken about her son's ambitions to become a rapper starting as young as the age of 4. Around 8 years old, Lil Snoop's family moved to Dallas, Texas for a brief period of time, where Lil Snoop attended his first local recording studio, recording his first song. Lil Snoop, being the young and energetic kid he was, he couldn't help but to get in trouble with his teachers, and it was becoming clear that his mind was everywhere other than school. Eventually moving back to Jonesboro, Louisiana, Lil Snoop attended Jonesboro Hodge High School, where he would quickly begin to take rapping a lot more serious, to the point where he finished his first mixtape titled 16 and Running in 2012. Lil Snoop unfortunately had some run-ins with the law, which he does mention in his music, going to juvenile detention. But thankfully, Lil Snoop wasn't going to let that get in the way of his dreams of becoming a big time rap artist.
He was just a kid with a dream, and he just wanted to get out of here, and that's all, you know.
On October 19th of 2012, Philadelphia rapper Meek Mill was performing a show at Grambling State University, which is roughly 30 minutes away from Jonesboro, Louisiana, where young Adarian Ross, aka Lil Snoop, was gearing up to get his big break by introducing himself to Meek Mill in hopes of handing him some music and maybe even getting a record deal. Much like today's era of music, aside from the streaming aspect, most people were finding their music online, and many artists at the time were hoping to get their big break through mixtape releases, self-made vlogs, and social media posts. But Lil Snoop was determined to take the old school route to fame, which certainly paid off. On Friday night in Grambling, Louisiana, after Meek Mill's performance, he was approached by Lil Snoop wearing his red, shiny puffer jacket, super eager to show Meek his music. According to Meek Mill, he said, quote, "We were on our way back to the airport. A little kid knocked on the window and gave us a demo. We listened to it, we liked it, and he popped up in Philly one day and was hanging with us." For Lil Snoop, things just kept getting better, because the next day, on October 20th of 2012, Meek Mill put out a tweet reading, "I just got this young boy demo in Louisiana. This guy fire, and he only 16. Lil Snoop."
Lil Snoop got that fire.
Man, fire. Hi to 17, yo. You might meet.
A cosign for Meek Mill, especially at this time, was huge, as he was gearing up to release his debut studio album just 10 days after that show where he met Lil Snoop. Plus, his Dream Chasers mixtape series was seriously blowing up on Dat Piff and online in general. Around this time, Meek Mill also announced that he'd officially have his own record label by the name of Dream Chasers Records, where Lil Snoop would be one of the 4 signees on the label at the time, following Louis V. Gutta, Lee Mazin, and Goldie. In early 2013, Lil Snoop would appear on World Star Hip Hop with his mentor Meek Mill in some studio vlogs, as well as some freestyles, where Lil Snoop really started to get some recognition and build real hype for his first upcoming release under his new label. Lil Snoop's ability to freestyle off the top was something to be appreciated, and you could tell he really did have a love for rapping and treated it like an art form rather than a quick way to get rich. After 4 months of building hype and working on his debut mixtape under the Dream Chasers imprint, Lil Snoop would go on to drop on the 13th of April 2013, RNIC, which stands for Real In Charge. This mixtape would go on to have features from Meek Mill, DJ Khaled, Trey the Truth, New Orleans legend Currency, and more. But it was his songs Mellow and Nobody featuring Meek Mill that were the real stars of the show, racking up over 14 million views each. At just 17 years old, Lil Snoop was making major moves for a kid from Jonesboro, Louisiana. From signing to Meek Mill's label, rocking stages with him, and putting out a pretty successful mixtape, it seemed like things could only go up for the young man. However, as we all know, when it comes to the rap industry, artists tend to have short lifespans. And it's often because of violence in some way, shape, or form that causes an artist to go from the top of the world to 6 feet deep in a flash. During the early morning of June 20th, just a week after turning 18 years old, Lil Snoop and a quote-unquote friend of his, 36-year-old Tony Holden, were kicking it at the crib in Winfield, Louisiana, playing video games and rolling some dice. To make things a little more exciting, the two decided to play for some money. Nothing too crazy, around $100 up for grabs. Well, unfortunately, one of them must have needed the $100 a lot more than the other, as out of nowhere, after losing to Lil Snoop, Tony Holden lets off 2 shots in the chest of the young rising star, leading him to die immediately at the scene. This news quickly caught the ears of his mentor, Meek Mill, who sent out a tweet reading, "Tell Lil Snoop to hit me right now," but unfortunately that call would never come. Even more eerie is this photo taken the same day Lil Snoop was killed. As you could see, both Lil Snoop and who appears to be Tony Holden, the man who admittedly killed him, playing video games together.
See, my mama taught me smart. She told me don't be trusting these niggas, cause if you trust them, they fuck around and up with these niggas.
His death was sad news for the community, as they mourn the loss of a young man with lots of ambition. And while we can't predict the exact trajectory of his career, there's no denying that this young man inspired others to pursue their dreams, just as he did.
He was just a kid with a dream, and he just wanted to get out of here, and that's all, you know, that's all it is to it.
His efforts were certainly starting to yield results, although tragically cut short before he could fully reap the rewards of his hard work. Alright, now it's time to dive into this tragic event by the numbers. For those new to this concept, there's a widespread belief that entertainers in their pursuit of success or longevity in the industry must undergo a Faustian bargain, or what I sometimes refer to as the doors to success. This is when the artist is forced to do or give up something in exchange for more money, power, and fame. Around the time Meek Mill signed Lil Snoop, he was riding high on an upward trajectory. His Dream Chasers mixtape series were gaining significant traction, featuring major artists and accumulating millions of downloads and listens online. It was only right he would release his debut album under a major label. As I've mentioned in previous videos, it's a common occurrence for artists to experience the loss of someone close to them, either just before or after reaching a significant milestone in their career. In Meek Mill's case, this milestone was the release of his first album. Naturally, newcomers to this channel often approach this concept with skepticism, attributing such deaths to natural causes or merely accepting what the media presents without considering any underlying plot or conspiracy. While it's possible that these things do happen organically, it would be unwise to dismiss information presented without giving it due consideration. By employing English gematria, where each letter in the alphabet corresponds to a numerical value, we unlock a fascinating system. When words, phrases, or sentences are spelled out, they yield numerical values. These values, when combined with date numerology, reveal patterns that offer insights rarely explored in mainstream media. So let's get into it. The first thing I wanted to point out was Lil Snoop's age of death, being murdered at the young age of 18 just a week after he celebrated his birthday. Notice his stage name, Lil Snoop, equates to 108 in the ordinal ciphers. Zeros are null in numerology, leaving us with the number 18, matching his age of death. While still on the topic of his age, you can see his full name, Adarian Ross, equates to 80, matching his age of death when spelt out as you could see on the screen. Almost like he was meant to go out at this age, sadly. The last point I'll make regarding his age ties into the date numerology. Note, Lil Snoop was murdered on the early morning of June 20th of 2013. June 20th is the 171st day of the year. 171 is the 18th triangular number, meaning if you add 1 through 18 together, it equates to 171. So you make up your mind if these are all just coincidences or planned patterns. June 20th, 2013 had prime date numerology of 59. This number aligns with the word kill in the Latin cipher, also matching how Lil Snoop actually died. Another number often mentioned in these videos is 62, as it aligns with the words sacrifice and Faustian bargain, the two main themes of this video. Plus, Lil Snoop was actually shot to death. The word shot also equates to 62. But the reason this is significant is due to the fact that he died on June 20th, a date written 6/20, like the number 62, applying the rules of numerology. Or depending on where you are in the world, the date is also written 20/6, matching the value of the word sacrifice in the Latin cipher. Once again, by using date numerology combined with the practice of gematria, you can start to see how things tie together a little more. From Meek Mill's 26th birthday to the death of his protege Lil Snoop is exactly 45 days apart. Notice the stage name Lil Snoop equates to 45, also matching the value of the word ritual. As mentioned earlier, Lil Snoop was signed to Meek Mill's label Dream Chasers, which so happens to equate to 114 in the ordinal cipher. And looking at the same time span from just one slide ago, from Meek's birthday to Lil Snoop's death is also a span of 1 month and 14 days apart, like the number 114. Now, time and time again, when we talk about rappers, you know you're bound to see the number 38 pop up somewhere, and here it is again with Lil Snoop's first name, Adarian, equating to 38, unfortunately aligning with his cause of death. Now, that older quote-unquote homie of Lil Snoop ended up turning himself in 6 days from the day on June 26th. This date has date numerology of the number 45, which we know matches with Lil Snoop, the man he killed. And another interesting thing to share regarding that so-called friend of Lil Snoop was that he was 36 years old at the time he killed him. Lil Snoop equates to 36 in the most pure cipher. Seeing how his stage name equals 36, I thought it was worth pointing out that lengthy 36-hour bus ride he took from Louisiana to Philly, showing up uninvited to get his shot at hanging out with Meek Mill and his crew. Some might find that detail to be nitpicking, but I truly think numbers have a meaning and pop up for a reason, as this was clearly a big moment for him. And lastly, you could see that the place in which Lil Snoop, rather Adarian Ross, was killed, Winfield, Louisiana, spelt as such, matches in two of the four base ciphers with his real name. So folks, is this just a tragic case of jealousy from one to another gone too far? Or is this the works of higher ups orchestrating the death of this young man in order to commence a ritual for the growth of Meek Mill's career? I know that the latter sounds far-fetched to some, but you can never really rule these things out. The world is a strange place, and time again, we've seen what people are willing to do to get to the next level, if you will. As Meek Mill once said, there's levels to this shit.